had the health of the Lincoln family not been comprehensively looked at before, how did you know that this was a topic worth writing a book about?
Well, there were a couple of things. One, I was asked if I would be interested in writing this for this series because I had done other Civil War medicine stuff before. But I also knew that the last time anybody had really studied the Lincolns at all thoroughly was the Schutz book that was published in 1933. So this was like just about 80 years ago. And so it was clear that something could well be done again because so many things have been attributed to Lincoln since then that people didn't even know these diseases existed in 1933. The more I looked at it, the more I thought, yeah, this is a real possibility.
So there's been some controversy regarding Abraham Lincoln's health. He's been given over 15 diagnoses from a variety of historians. Which ones ring true for you after your research?
Well, a lot of them do not. And a lot of the major ones that he's been associated with, like Marfan syndrome, for example, that's the hardest one to get rid of. But there's really a whole lot of evidence that he most likely did not have it. Marfan syndrome is a connective tissue disease, and people who have it tend to be tall and thin. And of course, Lincoln was tall and thin. And so, but they also have some other things that tend to bother them. They tend to be fairly weak. They tend to have long spidery fingers and toes, which the casts of Lincoln's hands, the measurements for his feet for a shoemaker, they show that really that was not the case with Lincoln. So things like Marfan syndrome do not ring true. Obviously, we know for sure that he had some form of smallpox because that was what the doctors diagnosed. They knew how to figure out smallpox. I mean, at first they might confuse it with chickenpox, you know, or something else when somebody was coming down with it. But eventually they could figure, yeah, they had smallpox. And although they said Lincoln had varioloid, which is a light, mild form of smallpox, some researchers have suggested that he really did have full-blown smallpox because he really was sick for about 3 weeks.
So you even explored rumors that Abe was homosexual, correct?
Yes. And the problem with that suggestion is that the people who make it really don't know anything about the culture of the 19th century because they tend to go with, oh, well, he slept with Joshua Speed. They shared a bed for 4 or 5 years. And the thing is that everybody shared a bed at that point. I mean, Lincoln's eventual law partner, William Herndon, shared a bed with another man in the same room where Lincoln and Joshua Speed lived. A lot of it is just that there's not a real cultural understanding of the 19th century.
I'm speaking with Glenna Schroeder Lane. She is a local historian and author and an expert of medicine during the Civil War time, and she recently wrote a book about the Lincoln family and problems they had with health. Glenna, I wanted to talk about Mary Todd Lincoln and her mental health problems. Anything you found out or any revelations that you had regarding that?
Well, I don't know that I found any revelations per se. Certainly, the so-called insanity incident and all the things related to it, clearly she was having some kind of problem that she didn't have at other times. And someone has, well, several people actually have suggested medication issues. And that's really very possible, because nobody knows exactly what Mary was taking all the time. She had a doctor who was prescribing powders for her. Exactly what they were, we don't know. Probably chloral hydrate to relax her. But, you know, if she was taking something alcoholic as well, because there are a variety of patent medicines that are heavily alcoholic at the time, you know, she could well have been her own worst enemy.
So what was maybe one of your most surprising findings regarding the Lincoln family's health?
until I started studying this, I didn't realize how unwell Lincoln was while he was president, which is not to say that he was sick all the time, but he had a lot of episodes of illness. Not all of them are very clear as to what it was that was the matter, but certainly the responsibilities and stresses weighed on him. And so, you know, various kinds of stress issues, I'm sure, as well as the fact that Washington, D.C. was not an especially sanitary place at the time. He visited soldiers in hospitals, sometimes in Washington, D.C., also on the field. He shook hands with all of those who were able to shake hands with him. And, you know, he didn't go around with hand sanitizer afterwards. So, you know, he could have caught any number of things.
And so you helped curate an exhibit that's currently on display at the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Museum. And my understanding is it's about medicine during the Civil War time and possibly also about the Lincoln's family and their health history.
It's called To Kill and To Heal, Weapons and Medicine of the Civil War. And so it's a two-part exhibit, the part on the weapons and the part on Civil War medicine. And so it's much Civil War medicine much more broadly, dealing with disease and wounds and treatments, some about training of doctors and different kinds of medical staff, responsibilities of nurses and so forth, some about transportation of the sick and wounded. So and it is still up on exhibit at the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Museum and will be through the 30th of November of this year.
So what significance is there in knowing more about the medical history of the Civil War era, you know, and during the time that Lincoln would have been alive?
Well, one thing I think you can be glad not to be treated by a doctor who only has the knowledge of the Civil War era. And yet, at the same time, they were doing the best they could with what they had. Doctors at that time, many of the ones who served in the Civil War were about the best you could get at the time. They were the best, they had the best training, and they were perhaps the most innovative as to how to apply what they knew to the wounds and the medicine. And of course, it is right before Lister and the real discovery of germs, although some of the doctors have some concept that there's something on surgeons' hands, that if they wash their hands, their patients will do better. And there's also, especially after the Civil War, because of the use of women nurses in some places during the Civil War, the hospitals where women worked tended to have a reputation for better recovery for the soldiers. And so after the Civil War, eventually there's a development of nursing schools. Some of the women who worked as nurses during the Civil War are instrumental in founding these, and there aren't nursing schools before the Civil War.